If you got your Bibles, we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 3. But before we go there, I want you to go over to Daniel chapter 3. Go to Daniel chapter 3 first and put your finger there. Hold that place. Daniel chapter 3. Then when you find that, I want you to go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And that's where we're going to start reading, and we'll go back to Daniel chapter 3. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you will stand for the reading of God's Word this morning, we'll try to give you exactly what the Lord has given us. You found your place? Say amen. Amen. That's about half of you. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to be breaking in at the first verse. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of what? Their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to their parents, unthankful, and unholy. Boy, does that sound like today? Amen. Without natural affections, truth breakers, false accusers, inconsistent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Look at the next verse. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, the Bible says, turn away. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts today. Give us the message, Lord, that we could speak clearly to your people and that you'll be glorified with what will be said and done. Speak to someone here today that's lost, maybe wayward, that needs to come home. I pray today will be the day, Lord, they'll walk this aisle for you. We'll love you and praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Let's look at Daniel chapter 3. I want to do some reading to you this morning. But in Daniel chapter 3, breaking at the first verse, the Bible says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princes and the governors and the captains and the judges and the treasurers, the counselors and the sheriffs and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had made. Verse 4. Then a herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people and nation and languages, that at the time you hear the sounds of the cornet, flute, harp, sagbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye shall fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whosoever falleth not down and worship shall the same hour be cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Verse 8. Wherefore at this time the Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. Verse 12. They said, there are certain Jews who thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sounds of the cornet, flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, he says, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? These boys are in a bad place right now. This ain't a fairy tale that I'm reading to you. I'm reading to you what thus saith the Word of God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego here in verse 16 answered and said, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. I love that boldness. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. But, I like that way he says that, if not, be it known unto thee, more or less, be it known unto you, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury and a form of vengeance and rage, and against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore spake and commanded they that they should be the furnace heated 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded that the mighty men that were in the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hosens and their hats and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Are you starting to get a picture? Therefore, because the king commands were urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flames of the fire slew the men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm talking about a hot fire. Surely when they threw these men in, the men that threw them in, it kills them that they're casting these men in because it's so hot. No doubt, by our knowledge and our thinking, they probably just disintegrated as they threw them in. But listen what happens. Verse 23. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto the counselors. God's fixing to show up. I don't care what's going on in your life, God can show up. Did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fiery, into the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, true, you're true. It's a true thing, O king. We throwed them in. He answered and said, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. I'm telling you, there's something about Jesus. He's got a form like nobody else. Amen. He came by my house a long time ago, introduced himself. I accepted him as my Lord and Savior, and there ain't been nobody by the house like that since. Amen. Amen. Nebuchadnezzar recognized that it was somebody greater than Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, so much that he said, and he has the form of the Son of God. Amen. I want to preach to you this morning a message that God has given me entitled Fireproof. I wonder if you're fireproof this morning. I'm glad I've been down to an old-fashioned altar about 39 years ago, and I got my fire insurance. I got my fireproof outfit on. I ain't worried about the fire, amen. God put his seal upon my life. The devil's put a lot of fire in my life, but I'm glad I can overcome by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, greater is he that's within me than he that's in the world. I can overcome it, amen. And you can overcome it this morning. No matter what the devil tries to put on you, throw on you, you can overcome it. Number one, we're going to have to go through some trials in this life. The Bible says in verse 12, there are certain Jews who thou hast set over the affairs of the providence of Babylon. Here's people that's throwing out accusations upon these men, these good men that are doing their job. They're trying to honor God. They're trying to be all they can be for him. And the king has got it within himself and trying to set himself up as a god. And they're not going to worship. They're not going to do what he wants because they know who the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is. I don't care what the government does. I don't care what statues they set up. I don't care what rules they pass. I'm going to follow the word of God. Amen. Man, that's what I'm going to follow. Now the Bible also tells us to honor those that have authority over us. And we need to have respect for them and we need to pray for them. But when they get out of this book, I tell you what, that's when I'm going to step out of the way. Because I'm going to follow what thus saith the word of God. And it'd do you well this morning if you'll stand on the word of God. In these last days that we're living in, it's a hard time. Over in 2 Timothy there, he told us perilous times will come. He was telling the church then, and he's telling us now, get ready. It ain't going to get better and better. It's going to get worse and worse in this time. It's going to get worse, children, I'm telling you. 1 Peter 4:12, the Bible says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened unto you. Don't think it's strange when bad things start happening and you start going through things in this life. The Lord didn't promise us it would be a bed of roses, but he said, I'll go with you all the way, even down to the end of the world. Can I hear from you this morning? They've not been a fire that I've walked through that the Lord didn't walk with me. They've not been a persecution that I've been through that the Lord wasn't persecuted first. He said, I'll be with you. They'll hate you for my sake. They'll hate you for the things that you do for God. When you stand up for him, they'll hate you for that. You're going to go through some trials in this life. But look up, amen. Our redemption is drawing nigh. He's going to get us through it if you'll trust him this morning. Proverbs 14:5, the Bible says, as a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A false witness will utter lies to you. You better watch who you're hanging around with. Let me listen to you this morning, children. You young people, you better watch who you're hanging out with. I tell my daughter, watch who you hang out with. I tell you young people, watch who you hang out with. You'll become what you're hanging out with. If you run with a wet dog, guess what? You're going to smell like a wet dog. Oh, we're just going down here to do this or do that. We ain't getting into no meanness. Let me tell you what, you better not be in the vehicle when judgment comes on somebody. If it's not your time and it's their time, it may be your time as well. You better watch out who you're hanging out with. Can I hear from you, parents? My daughter goes out the driveway, my prayer life goes up just like that. Oh God, please watch over her. And I'm begging the Lord the whole time she's gone. And everywhere she gets, I said, you better text. You better text me as soon as you get there and tell me you're there. If she doesn't text, I'm going to call 911 and I'm headed out. I'm going to find out where she's at. She's like, Dad. It's a parent thing, that's all I know. She loves it when I use her in my message. But we love our children. They're going to go through trials, and we see the potholes of life, and we're trying to say, go around this and go around that one. Don't go that way. I've done been down that road. I know the heartaches that come with it. Listen to me. But there's sometimes in life, young people, middle-aged people, and older people, we've got to stand up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have showed us a great example. You got to stand up for the Lord even when it's hard. When the trial comes, you need to stand up. James chapter 3, verse 6, the Bible says, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity." So the tongue among the members, that it will defile the whole body. There's people that will talk about you. There'll be people that lie on you. You can't help what they say, but you live for God. Somewhere in time, that'll come back around. It may be bad right now, and you may not can't fix it right now, but I say it every week. I quote the scriptures every week. 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, "Cast all your cares upon the Lord because He cares for you." You know what that means? Let me give you a visual aid. Everything that you got, you come and cast it at the altar of God. So God, there it is, every one of them, Lord. I'm going to lay them down before you. You need to come up here and you need to pray. Say, "Lord, right there they are. I'm going to lay every single one of them down." The problem is you want to hang on to them. That's why God's not answering your prayers. You're not laying it down. You want to carry them around with you. You want to stick them in your pockets and keep them everywhere. And you think, "I can take care of this. It's not that bad." I'm telling you this morning, it's that bad. The devil's trying his best to rob you of everything you got. And until you bring it here, it'll never get no better. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego had a position. They had a good job. They were well thought of. They were doing their job. They wanted to be secure in their job. They wanted to continue in that good job. And all of a sudden, they're put to a test. You're going to have to go against your God and worship our gods if you want to keep your position, if you want to keep what you got. If you don't want no harm to come to you, you're going to have to bow down and worship this image I've set up, this 90-foot golden image that I've set up. You're going to have to bow down and call it your God and worship that God. And I'm glad what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said. I'll tell you what, the God that we serve, we'll not bow down. We won't give in. We'll trust Him. If He don't deliver us, it'll be all right anyhow. But we're going to trust Him. Amen. Why? Because He's God. Amen. How do you feel this morning? Are you so wrapped up in things in your life that you'd rather trust them and trust God? It's going to bring you down. It's going to bring you down. It's going to cost you. Sin is going to cost you. It'll cost you so much. It'll take you farther than you want to go. Keep you longer than you want to stay. That's what sin will do. It won't hurt me to go with my friends to the bar down here, have a little drink. Mom and Daddy won't know. It won't hurt for me to go to the friend's house and do a little drugs over here, and I can stay all night and I can get over it before I go back home. They'll never know. But I promise you right now, if you're a child of God, God's there. He knows everything that's going on in your life. And guess what? He'll tell Mom and Daddy what's going on in your life. Really? Oh, yeah. We've got a direct line. Sometimes kids get amazed. How in the world does Mom and Daddy know all this stuff? We got a direct line to the one that's there. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows you better than I know you. He knows my daughter better than I know her. Amen. I love her. I'd give my life for her. I'd do anything for her. But you know what? She's basically grown up. I'm about to have to say, "There you go. Here's the world. Take it on." That's hard as a parent. You older folks ought to be shouting me on this morning. You know what I'm talking about. It's hard to let your children go and just say, "Here, go out into the world. Do your thing. Figure it out." I want to shelter my daughter. I don't want her to go through all this stuff. I want to say, "Stay home till you're 50 years old. You can stay right here. It'll be okay. Run them hairy leg boys off. Don't even fool with them." But I know she's going to fall in love someday and marry some hairy-legged boy, and I'll have to have a talk with him and threaten his life and everything else. Because I love my daughter. But she's going to go through some trials. Number two, you're going to have to go through the test. Shadrach and Meshach were going through a test in Abednego. We see it in verse 15. "Now if ye be ready..." That at the time, he tells them, when you hear all this music, if you'll fall down and worship, if you'll be ready to do that then, I won't cast you into that furnace. Everything will be fine. "O king, we will not bow down to your image." I'm telling you, if you haven't been put to the test, you will be. Somewhere in your Christian life, you're going to be put to a test. And you'll have to stand up. Mom and Daddy won't be there. Mama and Papa won't be there. Cousins won't be there. Brothers and sisters won't be there. You'll be there by yourself. But if you're saved, the Lord will be there with you. And you stand up for the Lord. I've had to quit jobs for the cause of the ministry. I've been put to the test at times on jobs, and I would refuse to do certain things. And they say, you'll either do it or lose your job. And I said, well, I'll lose my job. I quit one time because I would not go and minister when I was called on to go minister. They said, you will be here. I said, I from the beginning told you I could not work Sundays. And I've got to preach. I got to go. If you're not here, you won't have a job when you come back. I said, you might as well write the papers up. And as I went out the door, you better be here tomorrow. I said, I'll see you Monday. And I went and done what I had to do for the Lord. When I came back, they took me in the office. The union president was in there, and the assistant plant manager's in there, and they said, we want to fire him. We want to get rid of him. We warned him before he left. And everybody started backing down. Oh, well, do whatever you got to do. And I thought, I'm standing here all alone. What am I going to do, Lord? I stood for you. And it was like things just turned around within a second. They said, well, he didn't sign anything saying that he'd work Sunday, so we can't do really nothing about it. Go back to work. Don't let it happen again. But I ended up quitting the job over it because I thought, we're going to go down this same road again. But when I quit that job, God had a better one waiting. I never missed a lick. I never missed a payment. I went right on for God. I stood up for the Lord. Was it hard? You better believe it was hard. When I got in the vehicle headed towards a house, knowing I had a family to support, no way to support them, I said, God, I've done it for you. What are you going to do? And it was like the same, not the same day, but I think it was the next day, there was a job waiting on me. I never missed a day. Sometimes you'll be put to the test and you'll be put to the trial. What are you going to do when that time comes? Are you going to back down? Are you going to give in? That wouldn't be the will of God. Psalms 56:11, the Bible says, in God hath I put my trust. I will not be afraid what men can do unto me. Amen. Our problem is we're afraid. We're afraid of men. I can do a lot of things, but let me get in your pocketbook. That'll tear everything up. Brother Tristan, give me $50. That's what I thought. Brother Dennis, give me $100. Whew. Brother Rudy, give me $500. You're loaded, I know. See how hard that is? It's hard. A lot of times we don't have it. We can't do certain things. There's times we can do things. Sometimes we'll be put to the test. You know, when I go out and I make $100, boy, it's easy to give $10. That's 10% of 100. I don't know if you all know that or not. But anyhow, when I make $100, it comes church time. You know, he says, bring in all your tithes to the storehouse of the Lord. And I love to tithe. I told my wife this week, did I not tell you? I said, we're going to pay our tithes whether we need or not. We're going to pay our tithes. And we had a job this week, and God blessed us real good. And first thing I done when I cashed that check is pulled my tithes out of it and handed it to her. I said, make sure that goes in for tithing. The devil said, why you need that for something else? I thought, you sorry devil. Fool with me, I'll give it all to the Lord. That's the way I am. So I just pull out and I give to the Lord. But now you start talking about money, start getting in on money, you'll turn some things upside down. You'll find out what a test is really like when you start talking about money. Amen. We can talk about a lot of things. You start talking about money, everybody starts getting uncomfortable. Don't they get uncomfortable, Brother Scott? We're all like that. I don't want you in my pocketbook. But I may have to give you some money sometime. Vice versa, you may have to give me some.
Take a check?
Yeah, I can take a check. if you'll write it for $1,000. I'll put you to test this morning. But that's the way it works sometimes. You never know which way the test is coming. Shadrach and Meshach are facing a fiery furnace. You know, just the day before, they're doing their job. Everything's wonderful. They didn't know the king was having a golden image made. And all of a sudden, they roll out this 90-foot golden image. They're like, what's this? And all of a sudden, they make an announcement to all the people, you will bow down and worship this golden image, or you'll be thrown into the fire. And they're thinking, you know what? Our employer surely wouldn't do us that way. So they didn't bow down, but there's always somebody standing off going, right there. Look, right there they are. They ain't bowing down. There's always one. You can have a church going wonderful, everything's blessed, God's doing a great work. There's always one sitting off in the corner. What can I stir up now? Here comes the test. I'm not so foolish as a pastor to realize, or not realize rather, that the devil ain't at work as much as God is at work here. God's been blessing our church. We're going to baptize two people today. He's going to do a great thing in their life. They're going to feel better than they've ever felt. They've finally got everything taken care of, and it's going to feel complete in their life. It's going to be wonderful. But the devil don't like it. And you know what? I could care less whether he don't like it or not. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego didn't care neither. They said, O king, we're not careful to answer you. We're going to tell you we ain't bound down, and we're going to trust the Lord. So the king got mad, and he took those three men, and he had the great men throw them into the fire, and these men died throwing them into the fire. And no doubt Nebuchadnezzar probably thought, now they'll fear me. Now they'll do what I've told them to do. And all of a sudden, you know, he's kind of looking, and he sees four men. Come here. Did we not throw three men into that fire? Yes, king, we did. We threw them in there. We did. There lays the guys that threw them in, that killed them when they throw them. Yeah. But I see four in there. And they're walking around. The Lord said he'd go with you. He'd never leave you. He'd never forsake you. He'll go all the way, even down to death. He'll be right there. There'll come a day, church, when you'll draw your last breath. When it leaves this body, I promise you the Lord will be right there to take you by the hand and walk you right on off into glory. It'll be a wonderful transition from here to there. I'm glad that last few moments I've been with those that are dying. It doesn't matter what the body's going through. When they get their eyes fixed on heaven, that last few minutes, amen, is the glory sets in and they move right on out. But I've also been with those that's died without the Lord. And they're kicking and they're screaming, they're clawing, they're hollering. And they scream their way right on out. Why? Because they see what they're headed for. I'm glad Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't go screaming to the fire. He's like, throw us it. And they throw them in. And the Bible says that when the king called for them to come out of the fire, they walked out of the fire. y'all ain't getting this morning.
Yeah, come on.
They walked out of the, he called to them. Hey, guys, come out of there.
Right.
Ye that serve the Most High God, come out of there. The Bible says they walked out.
Yeah.
They threw them in bound in their clothing, all bound up, throwed them in. But they came walking out unbound.
Yeah.
That's just like when you got sin in your life, it'll bound you down. You can't hardly do nothing. But if you come to the altars of God and lay it all down, give it all to God, He'll set you free this morning. You'll be free from all that mess. You can go out of here happy Christian along your way. You know that God's taking care of all of your problems. You'll leave out of here without even the smell of sin on you. He said they come out of the fiery furnace, they never even had the smell on their coats. Not even the smell. The band, you think about ropes and stuff around your arms and stuff bound up, and hip, and the Lord gets those off in the fire. They ain't a burn mark. They ain't a first degree. They ain't nothing this morning. That's what God can do. I'm telling you what thus saith the Word of God. He wants to deliver somebody this morning from that mess that you're in. There's somebody bound this morning in a mess. And this is the only way you're going to get free of it. O King, we're not careful to answer you. You shouldn't be afraid of what the devil can do to you. Because greater is He. He can deliver you out of any problem that you've got. This morning, I'm telling you, there's a trial. There's a test. But the end of all of that, you know what comes out of all of that? A testimony. That's what comes out of that. You ever notice the word testimony? What's the first four letters in it? What does that spell? You can't have a testimony without a test. There's tests that come in our lives. There's things that happen we don't like. I don't like the things I have to go through sometimes. But I look back now, years later, and I look back at them, and I see where God used that to grow me in my Christian life. I'm a better man for all of that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it don't go into detail, but I'm sure they were greater men than they ever was after that. Could you imagine sitting around with the grandkids? Come here, let Papa tell you something. Let me tell you what God did for me. I went through the fire one time, and He went right with me. Really? Yes, and He'll do the same for you. Man, what a testimony to your children. Amen. Have you been a witness to your children, your grandchildren? Have you told them that the Lord will go with them and bring them through? I'm afraid we like carrying stuff around too much. Parents, you'll never be what you need to be for God and before your children until you do this. I've been praying this week for Vickers and asking God what He wants and what I should do to try to help take us to that next step. I told the deacons the other night, a church grows by steps. Just like these two steps here, this is how a church grows, one step at a time. Sometimes it feels like it's going like this, but it's actually growing like steps. That's what we're doing here at Vickers. But we're not doing it without tests and trials. We're going through those tests and those trials. We're working through all of that so that we can have a place that will honor God. And they might want to shut the doors. They may want to burn the place down. But we're going to serve God as long as we're here. We're going to honor Him. We're going to try to help people. We're going to keep baptizing people, leading people to the Lord, showing them what it takes to be saved. Can I hear from you this morning? That's what it's going to take to get a testimony. You got to go through that trial and that test to get to that testimony. Every single one of you in this building today has a testimony. I could point you out and call you by name, say, what has God done for you? And you could say it. God's done this. God's done that. Everything that you've been through, God's been right there. You that are here that's lost, I'm going to tell you, God's going to go with you if you'll trust Him. He's been with you all the time. You just ain't realized it. He wants to save you. He wants to change your life. You say, I'm in the fire this morning, Brother Gary. You just don't know what I'm going through. My life is totally upside down. Well, please look at this illustration. This is what it's going to take. You're going to have to get past you and bring it to God. So while every head's bowed and every eye closed this morning, what are you going to do with the Lord?